Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Apollo Hospitals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this call to discuss the financial results of Apollo Hospitals for Q4 and FY22, which were announced yesterday. We have with us on the call today the senior management team represented by Mrs. Suneeta Reddy, Managing Director, Dr. Hari Prasad, President of the Hospitals Division, Mr. A. Krishnan, Group CFO, Mr. C. Chandrasekar, CEO of Apollo Health and Lifestyle, Mr. Obul Reddy, CFO of the Pharmacy Division, and Mr. Sanjiv Gupta, CFO of Apollo 24/7. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Please note the disclaimer mentioning these risks and uncertainties on slide 2 of the investor presentation shared with all of you earlier. Documents relating to our financial performance have been circulated earlier, and these have also been posted on our corporate website. I would now like to turn the call over to Mrs. Suneeta Reddy for her opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking time to join our earnings call. I trust that you've received the documents which we shared yesterday. Quarter four FY22 revenue volumes and occupancy within the healthcare services business were disrupted in January and February 2022 due to COVID-19 Omicron third wave. Planned and high-end surgeries were deferred, and medical travel within the country was adversely impacted. Sequential performance was therefore muted, while year-on-year traction continued to be strong. Quarter four FY22 occupancy across the group was close to 60% compared to 65% in quarter three FY22. IP volumes across the group grew 30% year-on-year, however decreased 9% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating indicators in the healthcare business continued to be robust. Overall, quarter four ARPOB improved from 43,329 in quarter four FY21 to 48,510. This was achieved through a sustained focus on ALOS, centers of excellence focus, and payer mix optimization. Mature hospitals ARPOB improved from 44,024 to quarter four FY21 to 49,232 rupees in quarter four FY22. We executed a planned reduction in lower-paying patients in the network, especially the mature hospitals, and we see this trend as positive and sustainable. In-market segments are expected to grow from current levels. New hospitals ARPOB improved to 46,715 compared to 41,154 in quarter four FY21. Volumes grew by 17% over quarter four FY20. Revenues grew 46%. Inpatient revenues in key specialties grew at very strong rates compared to pre-COVID levels. Cardiac sciences revenue growth was 33%. Oncology was at 36%. Neurosciences was at 11%. Orthopedics at 27%. Gastro at 19%, and transplants at 23%. This has been the result of our efforts within the centers of excellence of offering differentiating clinical products. Over the last 8 quarters, we have been consciously pruning low-paying patients and customers and have been actively substituting this with cash and insurance patients. These efforts are showing good results, with these segments growing by 25% in revenues compared to pre-COVID quarters. Performance in March 2022 improved in comparison to January and February, and we believe that the reduction in COVID cases across the country and opening up of travel and easing of restrictions has restored consumer confidence, and we will see traction in the healthcare business. The transfer of the back-end pharmacy business and the Apollo 24/7 digital platform to Apollo HealthCo was completed with effect from March 16, 2022. Accordingly, the pharmacy distribution business, which used to be reported as a segment in standalone financials, now gets reported within Apollo HealthCo. Consequently, standalone financials are no longer representative of the depth, breadth of our performance in this business. We will, going forward, focus on consolidated financials. While we believe they represent the full spectrum of our work, including healthcare subsidiaries, Apollo HealthCo, Apollo Health and Lifestyle, and other businesses. Against this backdrop, let me walk you through the consolidated financials for the quarter. Consolidated revenues grew 24% on a year-on-year basis to 3,546 crores. Healthcare services grew by 21% to 1,863 crores. Mature healthcare services grew by 21% to 1,283 crores, while new hospitals grew by 19% to 532 crores. Consolidated EBITDA stood at 463 crores, registering a growth of 12% on a year-on-year basis. Within this, healthcare services EBITDA grew by 25%, and healthcare services margins were at 21.9%. Mature healthcare services EBITDA margin was at 24.3%, and new healthcare services EBITDA margin was at 15.5%. Pharmacy distribution revenue grew by 23% year-on-year to 1,375 crores. Pharmacy distribution EBITDA post India's 116 degrew 60% year-on-year to 19 crores. This is after considering a charge of 84 crores on account of marketing costs of Apollo 24/7. Without that charge, EBITDA was at 103 crores. A growth of 27% year-on-year, and margins were at 7.5% against 7.3% in quarter 4 FY21. AHLL recorded a net revenue of 309 crores, year-on-year growth of 47%, and EBITDA post India's of 38 crores, a year-on-year growth of 41%. The consolidated PAT is at 178 crores, as against 168 crores in quarter 4 FY21. However, a non-cash tax impact arising out of pharmacy transfer to Apollo HealthCo to the extent of rupees 88 crores had to be considered for reporting purposes. Therefore, reported PAT for this quarter is 90 crores. It may be noted that the tax impact has been fully set off against available MAT credit, and the accumulated MAT credit available to AHEL has been fully exhausted. Therefore, AHEL will move to the 25% corporate tax regime from quarter 1 FY23 onwards. I would like to recap the consolidated financials for the full year FY22. We closed FY22 with consolidated revenue of 14,663 crores, a growth of 39% over FY21. Closing full year EBITDA is at 2,185 crores, representing a 92% growth over FY21. Closing consolidated PAT for FY22 is at 1,056, representing a growth of 602% over FY21. Over fiscal 2022 as well as the prior year, we have encountered unprecedented challenges and have been compelled to respond with agility while transforming and redesigning the healthcare services delivery model. This, we believe, has strengthened our business across all aspects, ranging from infrastructure, medical teams, protocols, and processes. Our rapidly growing digital platform is strongly complementing our extensive physical presence across the country, enabling us to provide an omni-channel, seamless customer engagement model that is highly differentiated across by the speed of response capabilities, depth of resources, and breadth of offerings for the customer. We enter this new fiscal year excited about the opportunities before us, yet cautiously optimistic because of the challenges and headwinds presented to us by the highly volatile global and national macroeconomic backdrop. For fiscal FY23, we believe that healthcare services growth will definitely be in the mid-teens. Margin expansion, however, will outpace revenue growth and improve by 150 to 200 basis points, given our ongoing efforts on payer mix, case mix, and cost optimization. The offline pharmacy business will continue to grow at around 20% with our focus on private label products, same store growth, and an accelerated store expansion of over 500 crores over the next fiscal compared to 400 stores in FY22. We expect Apollo 24/7, which includes online pharmacy, consults, and diagnostics, to grow rapidly. In the last fiscal, we had a GMV of 450 crores in Apollo 24/7, with quarter four being around 150 crores. We are currently at a run rate of 200 crores of GMV per quarter, which we expect to double as we exit FY23. Our diagnostic business with AHLL will continue to be our focus, and we are confident of achieving 1,000 crore top line within the next 3 years. On that note, I would like to hand it over to the moderator and open the line for questions. I have Dr. Hari Prasad, Krishnan, Obul Reddy, Chandra, and Sanjeev from 24/7 here with me to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and 1 at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team. First question is a clarification on the pharmacy segment. And this is on the combined margins, which is only 6.1% in this quarter. I recall in the last quarter you had some 10 crore costs taken up in the front end. Is there any one-off in this quarter which is impacting this margin?
No, overall there is an increase in the customer discount, and we would be able to absorb that with the higher margin, and that is just there is no other reason.
No, but the overall margin is
So the margin impact is only 6.1% against 5.8% in the last quarter, and there is an online cost coming into the numbers, so there is too much significant compression on the margin. So it's mainly due to the increase in the discount and online cost, which will be shown as a separate segment going forward.
Just a clarity, customer discount increased. Do you want to, what was the average discount earlier and versus now?
Last year it's about 10.5% overall and moved to 12%, 12.5% this year. And we could compensate largely that through the margin expansion.
And this is, you're talking only offline customer discount, right? Blended.
As in current year, it is a blended both online and offline, and that segmentation will happen going forward for the next year.
Okay. And then the portion that you're recording in the, let's say, back-end pharmacy, that percentage of the EBITDA has increased dramatically. Is that going to be the norm going forward? Almost in this quarter, 93% of the EBITDA or 90% plus of the EBITDA has been captured in the back-end?
That will be about 80%. Because this year there is a demerger coming into certain liabilities moving and there is an accounting issues. Otherwise, we will capture about 80% of the margins in the back end, and that stays broadly in that range. And 80-85%.
Thank you. Second question is on the 24/7. So this quarter, our spend has increased to about 85 crore quarter level. Now, the question here is whether we get the funding or do not get the funding. In both scenarios, what do you think can be annual spend in fiscal 23 on the 24/7?
Sanjeev, you want to answer that?
So, I think we are looking at around 400 crores of, you know, overall expenditure for the current fiscal year, as against 84 crore that you saw in Q4.
And Sanjeev, that is irrespective of whether you get funding in this AHL or do not get funding.
Yeah.
And is there any update on that, let's say, process that you were running?
Process.
So, you know, right now, yeah, you know, there is no update except that keeping in mind the existing environment where digital healthcare has been undervalued, we have delayed the process. We're keeping it on hold for another 6 months.
Thank you. Just last clarity on hospital ARPOBs. You gave the guidance, but just on ARPOBs, do you expect them to increase from quarter four level this year or moderate this in fiscal 23?
So there will be an increase, and like I said earlier, the increase will come from payer mix. It will come from cost reduction. And the third, which we're also seeing, is case mix.
Any headline increase that, ma'am, you have taken in cash, patients and insurance segments?
25% increase.
25% has been the increase that we have seen in the past, you know, and, you know, going forward, we will expect that, you know, there will be a, there will, the momentum should continue for the next year as well.
But any headline price increase you've taken in
cash? Headline price increase for the coming year would be around 4 to 5%.
Have you already taken that?
No, not as yet.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just again on Apollo 24/7, if you could also share online orders per day and average realization per order as in month of May.
So currently we are running at about 70 crores of GMV, and as far as the number of orders are concerned, we are closing at around 30,000 orders per day. Essentially, majority of them being pharmacy, but we do have diagnostic and consultations to the tune of about 2,000 to 5,000. Those are the numbers we are tracking as of now.
Right. This was like 20 compared to 21,000 a quarter back.
Correct, sir. Yeah.
Oh, got it. Secondly, on the hospital side, there has been sharp drop in occupancy in new hospitals. Maybe it is due to COVID in Jan-Feb, but again, coming back to like in April, May, if you could share what is the occupancy we are running at in new hospitals?
So it's picking up in the new hospitals. Mostly surgical work is picking up. And unlike last year where we had a lot of medical admissions, this year is looking better. Hari, you want to add to that?
Yeah, actually, the March itself has shown an increase in the occupancies in the newer hospitals and Tier 2 also. And the increased occupancy is mainly on the surgical front, which has actually contributed to the improved ARPOB as was elucidated by Madam just now in her opening remarks.
Got you. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. First one is on the pharmacy step up in terms of the store rollout. I think you said 400 we did in fiscal 22 and we are targeting 500. This has been a slight step change to how we have managed the store rollouts in the pharmacy business. So what's driving, what's the logic? You know, does it entail higher capex? I know it comes on the front end, but just want to understand the logic and which are the geographies we will likely to look at.
So we largely, you know, we are there, as you rightly said, about 400 stores every year. We increase it the number because now we have certain states where our presence is low in the central India. We are increasing the number of stores in that geography so that we will better serve the online customers as well. And on the CapEx per store, we remain the same more or less. And we are also opening dark stores in some key cities. We just started that, and we will be closing in the next 3 months about 30 to 40 dark stores, so that we will serve better for the online customers.
So, Mr. Obul, the 20% growth for pharmacy, so part of it is coming from this store expansion. The rest is the same store growth. That's how we...
Correct.
Any other color in terms of either, volume growth, or how should we look at the 20% growth if we break it down?
If you break it down, in the new stores, this year is, given about 2% growth and 18% from the entire basket of existing stores. So, like, as usual, like earlier years, there is no big difference, except that we are getting a normalized quarter against uneven growth rates in the last 7 quarters we have seen due to COVID changes.
Got it. That's helpful. Last question is on Apollo 24/7. I think we have seen weekly active users, which were, 26 lakh in December. Now it's come to 38 lakh. So if I were to load QOQ, there has been an acceleration in the March quarter. So can you just walk us through some of the dynamics, what's happening? If I look at overall registrations also, 12.5 has gone to 14 million, right? So, but the percentage change in active is much higher. So is there something that we have been doing that is leading to higher activation?
Yeah, so I think, sir, this is a continuation, with respect to what we discussed last time. Many of the users come to the platform to understand and then consume content. And we would continue to work on the content side and continue to enrich our customers and users with more information and more supplementary things, which help them to towards their continuum of care. And I think some of the things that the company is working upon is to have better content. We are also working to enhance our UI/UX things. Plus, there are many new features which are coming into the app and the website that also helps. Apart from the fact that the organic traffic is also inching up very fast as compared to the competitors, as compared to the previous quarters or the months. And I think all this put together, if I see, and coupled with the fact that in January we had some kind of a benefit coming in from COVID variant, there was a lot of traffic into our website and app to, get those medicines which were not there elsewhere. So I think all these factors, some internal, some external, is helping us to grow our traffic, and we continue to see, positive side as far as the traction is concerned.
Got it. And would you attribute anything to discounting in the sense that we have been upping our discounts? Do you think that's a hook for online customers?
I think on the discount side, we will continue to maintain our position that has been discussed over the period of last 2-3 quarters, that we are not going to be the leaders or challengers in the market. What we strongly believe is that customer is looking at a wholesome experience of omni-channel, and Apollo is the only company which can provide that omni-channel play. Probably that is the reason that our discounts are also not as high as the competitors give it, and our discounts are pretty low in comparison to the competitors. So I don't see that discount is the reason for us to increase the traffic. The traffic is increasing because of a variety of reasons, and I think discount is not the card out here that we are playing.
Last question, just read up on Sanjeev. The 12.5%. Would our online discounts be higher, say 13-14%, and maybe competition is at 18-20%? Would that be fair numbers anecdotally?
So you are almost on the right direction. So our discounts would be in the range of about 15-16%, which is the online side. And as far as the competition is concerned, competition, what I gather from the primary and secondary sources, is that at times they are upwards of 20%. And so to that extent, the gap will continue to be there.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much and good afternoon, everyone. Can you talk about the capital allocation for fiscal 23? in a sense, what would be the surplus from operations, and then how do you plan to deploy that in CapEx, acquisition, and deleveraging?
So, let me start with the surplus. We had 600 crores of cash surplus. We have 800 crores invested in mutual funds. So definitely, you know, we have cash available for growth. In terms of deployment, 350 crores will be used for normalized capex. The balance will be used to, one is to, we have acquired a brownfield hospital in OMR, which is part of Chennai. We will strengthen our Chennai offering and create a world-class tertiary care hospital there. The second part, that will take over a period of time. It will consume another 500 crores of capital over the next 2 years. The balance will go to Bangalore, where we're adding another 300 beds. So clearly another, and this is brownfield. So another 300 crores will be deployed in Bangalore. So over the next 2 years, we're looking at 800 crores of capital deployed. This is what we see now. Maybe over the next quarter, if there are any acquisition opportunities for brownfield expansion, we will come back to you at that time.
Yeah, thanks a lot for this. And do you think you would be left with surplus to continue deleveraging, or you think here on it would largely go into growth?
It has to go into growth. Sameer, we're at a very comfortable position with debt and equity, 0.45 debt to equity.
And even debt to EBITDA wise, if you look at it, you know, even for just if you look at healthcare services, you know, given that our gross, if you drop AHLL, we are at 2,300 crores of gross debt without AHLL. And clearly we will get to that EBITDA in the next 2 years. So it will be a 1:1 debt to EBITDA. So we have comfortable levels of gearing, and we definitely would look at growth.
Okay, great. Thanks. On the last call, remember you also talked about Mumbai and NCR. So, any capital you want to put over there?
Well, I think, you know, we have 500-600 crores of free cash flow. So I believe that when those opportunities come, we will have no problem investing and completing those two projects. But right now, there's nothing confirmed that we can share with the investors.
Okay, great. Got it. And just on the new project that you have highlighted, it's just 7-acre plot versus 1.5 million square feet development. I mean, I would think that this would be probably one of the largest single location and probably the most densest, you know, healthcare services, you know, assets. So just your thoughts on this. And of the 650 rooms, you know, what would be the split between, you know, the ICUs, private and the general ward? I mean, is there something, you know, dramatically different that you're planning over there?
So, Sameer, it's a little bit early because we are right now looking at hospitals abroad. Healthcare has changed. While, you know, 30% of our beds have always been allocated for ICU, we are looking at strengthening the centers of excellence. So, you know, we will have the whole gamut, robotic, cardio work, you know, just very high-end, clinically differentiated work in each of the COEs, plus we will have the mother and child, you know, which I think, you know, is a segment that's wholly underserved. The intent is that this area is really it's really growing, that part of Chennai, and we need a strong presence there. We only have a 100-bed hospital in that area. That 100-bed is insufficient. Plus, you know, we're noticing that connectivity to Chennai is improving. So we do believe there's a huge opportunity to attract foreign patients into this facility. So it will be truly best in class. Like we've done for proton, it will be best in class in all the other specialties, including transplants that we are planning to set up in the next 2 years.
And Samit, just so that you know, we are on the same page, you know, it is also including the basement area, which is there also, which includes the car parks, which is where if you look at it, this would clearly have one of the best car parks available for a pre-patient flow into the hospital and out, in, you know, outpatients, rehab, all of that it can enable, and because it clearly allows 1,500 to even 2,000 car parks. So clearly that's one challenge that we will never have in this facility once the outpatient comes in.
Okay, got it. Just with your permission, one or two more. So you know, this is kind of moving out of the city more towards, away from city center towards suburban. So do you think that this is a template that you can use for other metros? And I ask this because then that brings down your land cost dramatically and then you can have more of such hospitals.
No, you know, I think that the heart of the city is really moving. And this is going to be the Gurgaon of Chennai. So, you know, I'm not looking at it as a suburb. This is where all the IT is all in OMR. All the high-end schools are in OMR. High-end housing, and it's time that that high-end hospitals are also present in this area. So we're not looking at it as suburban. Also, proximity to the airport and, you know, the fact that, you know, foreign patients can reach there much faster.
Okay, got it. I have a few more. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Taking my question. Ma'am, in your press release, you've mentioned about, you know, growing your diagnostic business to about, you know, 1,000 crores in the next 3 years. Historically, we've always looked at diagnostic, you know, expansion organically. Is that still the case? Are you open to accelerating growth through inorganic, acquisitions in diagnostic?
I think we're open to all options. Chandrasekhar, why don't you answer that?
Yes, ma'am, I will. So I think the primary emphasis will be on organic growth. The inorganic option, as ma'am correctly pointed out, is a very different option and we are open with, but we have certain contours and rules of how we want to do it. We would not like to do it at the current levels of valuations on which the transactions over the last 12 months have happened. I believe that it doesn't leave much of arbitrage for growth after post-acquisition. So we are going to look at probably valuations which softening a little better. Second, size-wise also, and the way we are looking at strategic expansion is our core markets being south and east. Our organic acquisition appetite will be in markets that we are getting into, especially in the west and north. So we will grow organically in south and east and strengthen further opportunistic expansion in north and west, but at a size and a valuation which allows upside post-acquisition.
Understood, sir. That is helpful. And my second question is on AHLL. You know, we've also previously talked about, you know, potentially looking at value unlocking in AHLL also, given that we have investors there. Any timeline on that? Have we thought about how we want to scale that up?
So currently we have closed the year with a reasonable amount of cash balance, and we also are generating cash in the way we are hoping to grow the business this year. I think this opportunistic acquisition will call for certain additional cash to come in, which we will seek at that point of time. As far as unlocking value is concerned, I personally believe that the last 2 years have not been exactly favorable to some of the formats which potentially could be considered for such unlock,
mm-hmm.
Especially the ones which have been deeply impacted by elective and some of the outpatient footfall reducing, etc. So at this point of time, I think FY23, we start with a very clear perspective of growing the business and sustainable basis. We are not looking at unlocking value at this point of time within these formats because they may not justify because of the serious headwinds they have received over the last 2 years. we would like to have one sustained year when we can revisit that thinking.
Understood. And sir, has Spectra, recovered or gone back to its pre-COVID levels in terms of occupancy?
Yes, in fact, we had two waves of COVID last year, as you're aware.
Mm-hmm.
The most impacted one, obviously, is Spectra. But from a year-on-year basis, actually, we have a growth. If you look at the Spectra,
yes.
We have reached on a year-on-year, we actually grew volumes by 42% despite two waves of COVID that were impacted. So we are in the right trajectory. We've been the one thing is that some backlogs also do come in after post the wave. So a cumulative effect of organic growth plus some revival of backlog, we have a 42% volume growth when it comes to surgery from FY21 to 22.
Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question relates to Apollo 24 into 7. So earlier, we aimed to get some 10 crore patients registered in next 4-5 years. And given the competition emerging, around this business, so still we hold this possibility?
Yeah, so I think, there are two, three things, which we need to, think about. One is that, Apollo being a very strong brand and, there's this lot of footfall which happens across the Apollo ecosystem, be it the hospitals, clinics, diagnostic centers, so on and so forth, even Apollo pharmacies. So one is that we have customers who come to the Apollo ecosystem, they touch the Apollo ecosystem. So we have the sourcing from that channel. And secondly, as more and more people are adopting the e-commerce, more and more people are transacting into the platform, so that pool is also increasing. And I think both these two pools put together, we still believe that we should hit a target of what you rightly talked about. And obviously, our aim is to get the right set of chronic customers rather than just the numbers. So at appropriate time, in case, we think that, this number is to be lowered down, we'll come back to you. But at this stage, we're looking at 10 crore and we're looking at more of chronic.
So at what level of revenue our that break-even would be reached?
So what we anticipate is that FY25-26 should be the year where, the digital business should get break-even and the combined entity should, to the back end should be 1 year in advance. So those are the years that we're looking at.
Okay, and what is the ticket size currently in this quarter per order?
Ticket size. So currently we are running at about in the range of about 900 to 1000 as the average order value across the system.
Okay, so this was lower in earlier quarter, right?
Slightly lower. The average order value has gone up by about 6% versus the previous months. And I think current the workings that the team are doing is to see that, we are always on the four digit, and let's hope that in the current quarter we move, consistently on the four digit number.
Okay. And one more, if I could, on AHLL side, the footfall has, significantly lower on Q&Q basis. Despite that, clinics number of network has increased from 136 to 254. So, was that related to only that in January the disturbance due to Omicron, or do you see any other reasons as well?
No, that's the only reason. Jan and till mid-Feb, I think we have had the impact. It's 1.5 months of the whole 3 month quarter.
It seems we are doubling number of network and revenue, the kind of revenue shows that probably the few clinics were completely dry during this quarter. So is that the correct assessment?
Yes, that is. And we also had, if you have to look at one other thing that completely subsided was vaccination. There is near to zero vaccination in Q4.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shaleen Kumar from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So one thing, ma'am, when I look at your hospital number, obviously Omicron has an impact. But, when I look at new hospital, the margin compression is on a higher side compared to a mature hospital. And similar is visible on AHL, which probably because of new centers, etc. But what specifically, is it because of COVID revenue was higher in a new hospital? And then that's the reason for margin compression?
See, the margin on surgeries is always much higher. So because of Omicron, we had to cancel surgeries. And therefore, the margins got impacted. Also, patients couldn't come. So, occupancies were low. So it's a combination of these two.
Yeah, mature versus new, the margin compression is relatively higher in new. So that's the only thing, I was trying to understand.
Because of the fixed cost which is there in the business and the operating leverage which is there, the reverse happens when you have a bit of a lower, revenue. We will get back to the 17% levels soon. We were at 14%, with this quarter, and we will get back.
Sure, sir. And possible to get any update on Amazon bit? What kind of a traction we are getting?
Sanjeev?
Yeah, so let me just take this question over, sir. Is that okay?
No, Amazon, Sanjeev.
Yeah, I'm just requesting, can I take this question?
Yes,
we're asking you to take.
Okay, so on Amazon, I think what is happening at this stage is that we've got people from their tech and product side from Seattle, out here in Hyderabad as well as in Mumbai, and what Amazon is looking at it is to have the entire tech side stitched up before they kind of get into marketing on both ETL, BTL, and then start mobilizing more and more customers as well as the transactions. So we expect that the entire technology side to get integrated between the two companies to be over by September or it may slip by a month or so depending upon how it happens. So somewhere October end we expect this to happen, and then from November onwards I think the momentum will start happening. At this stage only couple of pin codes and things have been opened up to look at the flow of the transactions to test the simulations which are being worked upon. So as such, the backend work has started in full swing. We'll see more numbers appearing in Q3.
Right, sir. Sir, the pricing on Amazon will be independent of the pricing on 24/7 platform, or will there be a kind of a floor to it, not going below, or they'll operate completely independently?
These are independent platforms, so it will be independent.
Absolutely. Just one question, one thing which we're trying to understand, agreeably that competitive intensity has increased. Now, just trying to understand, is it because consumer behavior is changing? That's the reason that, some of the e-pharmacy players are forced to do higher discounting? Or is there some players are seeing a land grab opportunity, so, trying to press right at this point of time? So what exactly is happening? Any idea?
It's a good question. I think to my best knowledge, I think there are two, three things. One is that if you look at the pattern in the top maybe 15 to 20 cities of the country, you see a lot of adoption of e-commerce happening over there. And COVID particularly, last 2 years, many of the customers have started moving. They started in general dealing with e-commerce, whether it is the healthcare needs or the grocery or the a variety of other things that they normally shop for. So one is that there is a consumer pattern or a consumer behavior to look out for convenience, to look out for speed, to look out for comfort. So this is one area which is supporting the increase in the momentum as far as the health tech e-commerce players are concerned. And I think second, as far as the discount side, in case you are hinting that some of the competitors are giving more discount to get the land grab initially and then, get the valuations, so on and so forth, I think the current times are good times. It is kind of a cautionary belt to everyone out there, who gives discounts to the tune of about 25%, 30% to get the customers. At the end of the day, that does not make sense. And eventually what is right is for the business is will happen. And so I think as far as the second leg is concerned, second leg, which is, kind of grabbing with high discounts, this would also start coming down quickly. I expect in a quarter from now, you would start seeing the discounts offered by the competitors, under 20, which is today at times it is about 25% plus.
Agree, sir. Agree. Just last bit, I missed on your order numbers, like what kind of order you're seeing. If you don't mind, can you please repeat it?
It's around 30,000 per day today.
So that's the online order or omni channel you're talking about?
No, this is just the platform driven. I should have said that. It is just the platform.
And this includes our pharmacy consultation plus diagnostics.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, sir. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bismith Naik from RW Advisors. Please go ahead.
Ma'am, just one clarification. Healthcare, overall you said you're targeting mid-teens growth for FY23 and margins can go from 22.6 to around 24-25%. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now an online pharmacy, you're targeting 20% growth next year as well. Offline pharmacy, sorry. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, ma'am. Hello, sirs. Good afternoon. Just a question on looking at these three businesses together, AHL, AHEL, and AHLL. Just wanted to get a sense on how transfer pricing is happening across the platforms. So, for instance, if 1,000 rupee is spent on medicines through the AHL platform, or 1,000 rupees is spent through diagnostics through the AHL platform, or 1,000 rupees is spent for consultation through the AHL platform. If you could give us how is it going to be captured across the different businesses?
So there is a transfer fee which has been agreed upon, for new customers, being funneled into the hospital services business. Which is, depending on, the existing customers which are serviced through Apollo 24/7, there is a transfer fee which has been agreed of 2%. Whereas if you look at the existing, for the new customers which are coming into the healthcare services, we will typically pay them approximately 10% of the outpatient revenues, which is generated in the at the hospital level for 1 year. After 1 year, they become an existing customer and go back to the 2%. This is because there is a customer acquisition cost which 24/7 also has to incur to bring in customers into the healthcare services. That's the same 10% that we will be paying even for health checks, etc., that is funneled to 24/7. As of now, 80% of the business is self-generated by the hospitals. It's only 20% that is getting generated by 24/7. Of course, our hope is that with time, 24/7 will generate a lot more revenues to us. Similarly, even on the diagnostic side, there is a sharing of approximately 10 to 15% of the revenues which happens between AHLL and 24/7.
Got it. And in terms, and so far as, would it be fair to presume that the tie-up with Amazon would actually be, serviced by the AHEL business and would have nothing to do with the 24/7 business? Would that be the right way to look at it? So the metrics of AHEL with 24/7 would probably be similar to AHEL with Amazon, insofar as the pharmacy piece of the business is concerned.
Yeah, but then it will be in AHL. You're right. It will be in AHL, which will be the Apollo Health Co., which is going to be servicing Amazon as well as a back end.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, with one more leg into it, you know, for the Amazon Prime customers, you know, we would also be offering them the diagnostic and the consultation and deconsultation services to Apollo 24/7 platform. So to that extent, while pharmacy business of Amazon will get captured through front end and back end for the fulfillment side, the entire diagnostic and consultation, both ends, reconsultation and a fresh consultation will be through the platform, Apollo 24/7.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just looking for a very rough split of this $3 billion GMV that you talked about into these three components, offline, 24/7, and the Amazon partnership.
Sanjeev, you have that broad number between offline and online at least?
Yeah, so broadly what we can think at this stage, you know, this is a number that we're targeting in 3 to 4 years from here upon. I think it will be about $2 billion as far as the pharmacy line is concerned, which is the our own stores, which are 4,500 at this stage and growing by 350 to 400 year-on-year basis. We also expect about, you know, $500 million to come from the Amazon side. And apart from that, another $500 million to $700 million would be the GMV, you know, coming in from 24/7, which would be in the which would be around the consultations, the digital therapeutics, the condition management, and many other things. So that would be the rough estimate or very broad number for the $3 billion, you know, bifurcation.
Okay, that's helpful, Sanjeev. And second, just clarity again on the pharmacy segment. The first question I asked on the call, I'm still not clear with that. So the total combined pharmacy margins that you talked about, 6.1% this quarter, when initially you mentioned the customer discounts have increased from 10.5% to 12.5%. So I'm a little confused. So when you record a 24/7 loss, so online pharmacy losses, are they captured in the 6.1% or are they captured in 85 crore which you record below? Where are those captured?
The 6.1 is a combined EBITDA, as you rightly said. So the pharmacy online expenses is captured as a part of that. And apart from that, you know, the discount cost is mostly compensated through the margin expansion, and we could see that impact.
But I still have confusion. So this, I'm not sure that, so the 6.1% includes the 24/7 losses.
Not 24/7 losses, 24/7 expenses, because the delivery to the you know, customer is happening from the Apollo pharmacies, which is front-end entity. The cost incurred there is almost about 1% of the revenue. So that has to be, you know, factored into this.
So
you
can
have
you
delivery
talk
about cost coming into the revenue side of the pharmacy business, which doesn't include that 85 crores.
So technically, it could have been included as part of 85. As of now, that is part of the 6.1%, which is being reported now, the logistics cost.
Just to clarify, the online delivery is happening through the front-end business where the delivery costs are captured, so which was not there last year. And to that extent, there is a margin compression both on account of the expenses as well as the increased, customer discount. And we could largely compensate that with the margin increases.
So this quarter, how much would have been roughly online sales which have been recorded in the revenue?
Say about this quarter alone, about 70 crores.
You're saying roughly about 7 crore kind of number is impacting the margin?
Yes. Even more than that, it will be about 10 to 11 crores complete delivery cost, and, you know, attributable to that segment of the business.
And when you talk about this 84 crore, this is largely the non-transaction expense. This is just a fixed cost, let's say, the let's say the personal cost, which is let's say the corporate headquarters kind of cost, which I attributed that, and the promotion marketing cost?
No, see, the online delivery cost, which will be, you know, fixed, you know, irrespective of the deliveries, you will have a fixed online delivery cost, which account for almost, you know, 6% of the revenues, online revenues. So apart from the fixed cost, if I add up that, that is coming to about 10 to 12 crores, which has impacted my margins for the quarter. And a similar number in the last quarter is very insignificant.
That's clear.
Corresponding Q4 is very insignificant. That's why if you see that Q3 versus Q4, there is a margin expansion, while Q4 versus Q4, there is a margin compression.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. Just a couple of questions on 24/7. How many of your offline stores are really, you know, integrated into online, you know, business? And second is, what's your fill rate for online, you know, prescriptions? And I ask this because, you know, you're not operating on a super pharmacy or a warehouse-based model. So, if you can answer these two.
Sanjeev?
Yeah, so sir, at this stage, you know, we have lightened up around 1,500 stores out of 4,500 stores of network that we have it on the on the APL. So 1,500 stores are based on the PIN codes, based on the transaction flow. So this is all the algorithm based, you know, placement of stores against the orders that we're generating in various geographies. So about 1,500 have been already lit up. That is the answer to the first question. And if you could repeat the second question, sir.
Yeah, and second question is
the fill rate. Yeah, so I think fill rate is to the tune of about 90% plus. And we do have a support of, other than stores, we do have a support of LVDC, CVDC. And these are the, you know, kind of a mini DCs which we have placed at appropriate locations to just ensure that in case at the store level we have about 90% of fill rate for any order. And one or two SKUs is missing, then obviously immediately the nearest DC, you know, kinds of shift. Ships that particular SKU to the store and the entire order gets to the customer on an immediate basis. So it's a network of 1,500 stores being lit up plus a CVDC, LVDC to ensure that, you know, the fill rate is very high. And as far as SLA side are concerned, more or less we are 95% plus side on the SLA promise to the customer versus the delivery time.
Okay, great. Thanks. So this is very helpful. And how do you see this rollout over next 1 to 2 years?
So again, this all will be algo driven. So what happens is that as and when you get you know, more and more orders, so everything runs on a PIN code basis. So 19,000 PIN codes, so system keeps looking at the PIN codes and PIN codes orders versus the fill rate versus delivery time, all these three things on a continuous basis, they keep looking at it and, you know, we periodically review it, something like 15 days cycle, we review it. And depending upon this algo, we get to know that, you know, where we are getting more traffic and where we need to, in case we need to strengthen, and accordingly we take a call. I guess next 3 to 4 years, maybe 30 to 40% more capacity will build up. I mean, we'll light up more stores. That should be good enough at this stage.
Okay. Thank you so much. And just one final on equity raise for AHL. So the question here is, you know, can we, you know, continue if it doesn't happen over the next 6 months? You know, how critical it is, you know, for the build out of this business?
No, I think we surely can, because the pharmacy division itself has cash, and I think the parent company also has enough to support this. So definitely, I think not just for 6 months, but even if it takes 9, I think we're there to support.
Smita, is there a big big gap between bid and ask, or you know, how should we think about it? Are you talking to new people? I mean, what's really, you know, gone astray?
So just to say that there is very good interest in 24/7. It's just that, you know, the environment was not the right environment, and we believe that in this current environment that we would not get the valuation we deserved. So we decided to postpone it by 6 months. But there is sustained interest in 24/7.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking time out for this call. As you can see, in spite of two waves of COVID, I think, you know, the whole entity of Apollo Hospitals, the hospital division, the pharmacy 24/7 and Apollo Health and Lifestyle have really recovered. But beyond that, just looking at the future and this year, which is really, we're already present in the future, we are looking at a very strong trajectory of growth, and we hope to deliver on our promise. Thank you again.
Thank you. On behalf of Apollo Hospitals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.